Many, if not all, of these acts were violations of the Geneva Conventions concerning the treatment of prisoners of war and of civilian noncombatants. Most notably, Article 3 of the 1949 Convention stated that people being detained shall be treated humanely, without outrages on personal dignity, in particular humiliating and degrading treatment. The abuses occurred not only because of the failings of those who committed them, but because of the lack of supervision and leadership by their superiors. One reason for this was that everyone was overworked, taking 12-hour shifts in a hostile environment, frequently for 7 days a week. Yet good officers know their soldiers, and part of that is knowing who to keep an eye on. They also enforce discipline, so that other soldiers understand that the unit has standards that all its members are responsible for. Yet here, leaders didn't supervise or lead, and other soldiers lack the discipline to stop the sadistic acts, or at least to report them. Abu Ghraib was falling apart. Even in a nation sinking into chaos, the prison stood out as particularly troubled. It was regularly being shelled by mortars. Prisoners were routinely escaping. No one knows exactly how many, but at least 36. On November 5, during the night shift's watch, several fled Tier 1A. 2 days later, another detainee went missing. The next day, 5 or 6 left. Note, no power, no water. Prison in state of lockdown, a soldier wrote in the 1-Alpha log on November 17, 2003. Army teams with working dogs arrived at the prison on November 20, and 4 days later were used to abuse prisoners, the day an MP was shot with a smuggled pistol. Using dogs to scare prisoners was called the doggy dance, according to Frederick. On November 24, the prisoners rioted, resulting in the shooting deaths of 9 and injuries to 9 U.S. troops. A subsequent Army report concluded, contributing factors were lack of comprehensive training of guards, poor or non-existent standard operating procedures, no formal guard mount conducted prior to shift, no rehearsals or ongoing training, the mix of less-than-lethal rounds with lethal rounds in weapons, no after-action reviews being conducted after incidents, rules of engagement not posted and not understood, overcrowding, uniforms not standardized, and poor communications between the command and soldiers. But to Karpinski, the female MP general overseeing detention operations in Iraq, that catalog of missteps merely reflected the lack of support she was getting from her superiors. A few months later, she would be blamed by the Army as the senior-most officer to have made grave mistakes in handling Abu Ghraib. She would argue in her own defense that she had worked to call attention to her problems and had sought help from the top commanders in Iraq, generally in vain. In November, as the Ramadan offensive surged, the 82nd Airborne's commanding general, Swanick, came to see her. The eastern boundary of his division's area of operations ran up against Abu Ghraib, and he wanted to know about her security arrangements. "What platforms do you have?" he asked her. He was asking a basic commander's question. "Do you have Humvees, armored Humvees, Bradley fighting vehicles? How do your soldiers investigate enemy movement or respond to attacks?" "None, sir," Karpinski responded. "What weapons do you have?" Swanick asked. "Just M16s, saws," she said, referring to the Army's basic rifle and the light machine gun known as a squad automatic weapon. These were the most basic arms a unit could have, but nothing that any platoon leader would want as his only tools available for combat. Such light weaponry was useless, for example, against mortar attacks, which could be fired from miles away, and which needed mortars or artillery pieces for an adequate response, as well as a sophisticated counter-battery radar system to detect the point of origin of the enemy fire. His own troops worked constantly to hone their response time on mortar fire, eventually getting it down to 100 seconds. One night they were able to hit back in just that amount of time, and the next day a patrol found a 60-millimeter mortar tube on the far bank of the Euphrates and 3 dead men at a nearby hospital.